Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast.
Bringing you the latest from the world of sports, DFS, and gambling. With over 5 years of hot takes and millions of downloads later, I guess he's been doing something right. Now, sit back and listen to one of the sharpest minds in the game. Here's your host, Dwayne Callender.
Hello, folks, and welcome to a special Thanksgiving turkey edition of the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Hoping you and your families enjoy some good turkey and football because we got three games on tap, so we'll get right down to it. The Bills at the Lions. Although, let's be real here, the Bills technically have already been playing in Detroit since their original game against the Browns got moved due to the blizzard in Buffalo to Detroit. So they played Sunday in Detroit while the Lions were playing the Giants. I know some people were getting confused if they weren't following sports on Sunday, and then Red Zone was actually showing a double box between the Bills playing in Detroit and Detroit playing the Giants in New York. And so, yeah, it was a nice visual just seeing how random it was. But I think this plays a big role in the game because realistically, you would be traveling on a short week to Detroit. That usually gives the Lions a little bit of an advantage because you got to travel on the short week. The team doesn't have that time to prepare. Because Buffalo's been in Detroit, yeah, it's a short week. But Detroit's the team that lost the time due to travel. And Buffalo's been here. It's actually kind of the weird scenario where the home team, technically on a short week for Thanksgiving, doesn't actually get the usual advantages that you would have assumed in the first place. So to me, the weird part about what we've got here is the simple fact that if you're looking at the Bills, it's not your typical road game on Thanksgiving when you're playing the Lions. The Lions are actually a pretty solid team. Now, this line, though, I'm not going to agree with. The line is at 9.5 currently. It opened at 10. The original line opened at 10. It's come down a little bit, but not significantly. It's 9.5 for the Bills to cover this. I think it's a bit too high of a line. Just knowing how Dan Campbell and that group plays, they do grind games. So this is more of a backdoor cover type of game. I expect the Bills to take out the Lions, though. Don't get me wrong. But the issue is the fact that the line is still a bit too wide. That's the long and short of it. Now, and you just got to check it across the books. Like, it's not really moving either. It's like it came down slightly from that 10.5 original, but realistically, it's not really moving that much further. I think it's likely to just hold up here because I mean, with the holiday, yeah, folks are going to be betting, but it's not necessarily you're going to see the tremendous action moving certain lines. Sometimes you do get it for the Cowboys games. I will say that. Sometimes with Cowboys games, you might get some later news that pops up. that might drive action, but I don't really see this line moving that much. I do think this is a backdoor cover situation for the Lions. They're going to be behind most of the game, in my opinion. I think Buffalo, the way you approach this game, and this is kind of more of a reflection of just kind of looking at how these games have been playing out. Josh Allen still is not being accurate throwing the ball on some of his deeper routes. I'm not as convinced on Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs from a passing connection standpoint. Now, if you look at Josh Allen's rushing props, in different, depending on your books, you can get it anywhere from 41.5 to 45.5. I definitely think with the Lions defense, and you saw this against the Giants and Daniel Jones, like there are running lanes available on this Lions team. You can run on the Lions. Saquon, while he didn't have, he got kind of taken out of the game, Daniel Jones still, even with, and I hate the Vanilla Vic nickname, to be perfectly honest, but if you look at how that game played out, the Lions defensive line still held up pretty well against the Giants O-line, and even with that, you still had Daniel Jones. And mind you, no one actually looks at Daniel Jones as a decent athlete. He's a decent athlete, but it doesn't look that way. Daniel Jones had 50 yards rushing. He outrushed Saquon. I know people weren't paying attention to that game, but Daniel Jones had 50 yards rushing and a touchdown at a long of 15 yards. Like, there are running lanes. Josh Allen is faster than Daniel Jones. There are going to be running lanes available. That's why, in terms of a prop, I love the Josh Allen rushing prop, because I know the Lions are going to invariably give up those rushing lanes to Josh Allen, and he's going to be able to run down the field. I'm not necessarily going to be pounding the Bills running backs in DFS, but since it's a three-game slate and I'm playing multiple lineups, I'll have exposure to Devin Singletary, but I probably will end up with more exposure to James Cook, because if this game turns into a larger lead for the Bills and they're up 2-3 scores, they're going to let James Cook get more run with the ball, because he's more of their pounded back in terms of plays than Devin Singletary. So to me, that's where I look at it, and I'm saying, I look at Josh Allen's rushing props. It's too low. I would definitely be betting on that side. And because I'm still looking to see if I can get some lines on, and even now, I'm still not necessarily seeing the props. I'll probably play around with DraftKings and FanDuel, but I'd most definitely, if you get rushing prop lines of less than 26 yards for James Cook, and yes, he's a backup running back for the Bills, but they do give him run throughout the game, even when it's not a blowout. If you get him around 26, 27 yards in terms of a rushing prop, I'd hit the line. Because to me, I think Cook is somewhere in the 30 range in terms of yardage gained for this matchup. I think the Bills are going to win. And when the Bills are up, they want to run the ball. That's why I look at the rushing yards as the way to kind of attack this game. Yes, Josh Allen's going to throw the ball. Don't get me wrong. But to me, the passing props being in the 280 range, yeah, he can hit that. Don't get me wrong. But I look at this as more of a, you know, I'd look at it more as total receptions for Stephon Diggs, and I'd look at Gabe Davis for the receiving yards. So let me back this one up. Gabe Davis is the more big play threat for the Bills than Stephon Diggs. As good as Stephon Diggs is, most of the time, teams have that extra safety over the top because they know better by now not to have that help over the top. So I don't necessarily like Stephon Diggs from a prop standpoint because they've got him at night. So they actually have him as the highest yardage receiving prop on the board because if you look at it, he even has higher props than Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson's at 86.5, and I think if the Vikings didn't stink as much as they did against the Cowboys, the props on Justin Jefferson would be higher. But be that as it may, you've got, and all these games are in domes. So again, all these things to kind of bear in mind. You've got a receiving props for Stephon Diggs in the low 90s. I've seen that as high as 95. I've seen him go as low as 92.5. That's a good chunk of change to kind of get through. That if the Bills are able to run the ball on the Lions, which they should because the Lions are still one of the worst rush defenses in the league, and Josh Allen scrambling, it doesn't leave that much room for Stephon Diggs to get a ton of receiving yards. Like, that's where I look at it. It's like, the Bills have enough ways of punishing the Lions' defense that, yeah, Stephon Diggs can catch a touchdown. He can get a couple of receptions. Like, his reception prop for Stephon Diggs, it's 6.5 at most places. You might see some 7.5, but I would stick with FanDuel being at 6.5. To me, I still think Stephon Diggs gets 7 or 8 catches. I'm just not sold on his catches leading him to getting 100-plus yards today. Because I do think that between all the mouths that Josh Allen has available that are going to be in good matchups, Dawson Knox is going to be in play for red zone receptions. You've got Gabe Diggs in the slot. I still think that from a receiving standpoint, Gabe Davis is one of the most dangerous receivers in the league, and folks don't have the personnel to match up. They are so concentrating on Diggs that Gabe Davis carves them up, and the speed alone, it's just most guys cannot deal with him in where he lines up. So to me, Gabe Davis would be the guy I'd be looking at more from a receiving yards prop because he's in the high 50s. You might see 60.5, but realistically, I think it's easier for Gabe Davis to hit it on far fewer receptions because he is their big play guy. You'll see him get 18 to 25 yards on most plays. Like, he has one of the highest reception yards per reception averages in the entire league. To me, that's the play where Gabe Davis can house one and basically covers the entire prop in two catches. So I look at that, but I do think Stephon Diggs is going to get a ton of receptions because Jeffrey Okuda is out for the Lions very doubtful to play. I think they did officially rule him out, but it's like they really don't have the matchup corner that they normally would have. So there's going to be opportunities to force the ball into Diggs. I just don't think that with the amount of play that they're going to be able to do, that Diggs necessarily gets there from a yardage standpoint. I think it's more of a, you know, they piece him up throughout the field, but I don't think they allow Diggs to get the free rein to have the monster catch and run for a touchdown that he can do, you never know. A team could always blow the coverage, but I just don't see from a breakdown standpoint where Diggs has the monster game. I think the monster game is still more likely with Justin Jefferson today, even though it's Kirk Cousins in prime time. We know it's Kirk, but I still think Diggs has a much safer floor, way safer floor. But the ceiling is what I kind of question because I think there are just enough ways for the Bills to break down the Lions that it's already baked into the numbers that Diggs already has on the board with some of these props. So long story short, I think it's a very nice offensive day for the Bills. It's just a decent floor from pretty much everyone. I don't necessarily see monster ceiling games unless someone just gets incredibly hot. And the guy who most likely would be the beneficiary of that is Gabe Davis. Just because from a personnel standpoint, I don't know how Detroit matches up with Gabe today. And he's 5,300 on DraftKings, so he's going to be the most popular play. And basically, I don't see how you can... It's going to be tough. From a game theory standpoint, fading Gabe Davis seems like the dumbest idea imaginable. But you can do it from a game theory standpoint and hope that he doesn't go off. But man, that's going to be one of the hardest things to do is building lineups that don't have Gabe Davis, in my opinion, because it just seems like such a dumb idea to start your team off with that. I would have a very difficult time. If you're only playing one lineup, not playing Gabe Davis seems like the dumbest thing you could do. I'm just going to say that from a fantasy perspective with DFS. I just think you're building your lineups wrong if you don't have Gabe Davis at 5,300. He's going to be chalk, but not everyone's going to be playing him. But the floor is there, and there are ways of burning this secondary because I think the concentration has to go to Diggs, and because they're shorthanded, there's not enough folks there. Now, on the flip side, here's where you can kind of get a little bit different. The issue is the Lions have to stay in this game somehow, and I still think that there's opportunities to do so against this Bills defense. Now, Jared Goff has been better. He's been better. The question is, with Jared Goff, he's going to have more receiving options available today because DJ Chark, even though he didn't have a catch on Sunday, he's being upgraded further to have more snap counts available because I think he only played in about 15% of the total snaps against the Giants on Sunday. He's going to get upped up, which should help. And they'll have Josh Reynolds available as well, so they'll have more bodies they can actually throw at the Bills secondary when they go three wide. So it's not just Amon-Ra getting triple teamed in a sense, because it was just him and Khalif Raymond. And Khalif Raymond, Holy Cross alum, speed burner, still got wheels for days. But if you jam him at the line and don't let him get a clean release, he's not necessarily going to beat you on a pass route. He's going to hurt you on the go route where you don't get hands on him. So from my perspective, having more balance with the receivers in place, that's where DJ Chark and Josh Reynolds kind of comes in, because at least you'll have more guys who can run more varied routes that can at least relieve some of the pressure off of Amon-Ra and Goff, because Goff has just been trying to feed the ball to Amon-Ra, but with the lack of options, it's been harder for Amon-Ra to get going. So to me, with St. Brown, it's a 75.5 receiving prop, and to me, that's a bit tough, because essentially, in order for Amon-Ra to get there, you need this to be closer to a blowout script. Because the way the Lions stay close to this game is if they're able to run the ball effectively between Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift essentially has been replaced in this offense as the running back one by Jamal Williams. His rushing prop is at 53.5, which is more than fair, because Jamal Williams only ran the ball for 63 yards against the Giants. Everyone keeps talking about the three touchdowns, but the Giants effectively held down Jamal Williams to less than 4 yards a carry. The guys who actually got run were Jamal Williams, and then later on in the game, it was Justin Jackson, because it was such a blowout. The Lions do not want to use DeAndre Swift running the ball. For whatever reason, the Lions are more hesitant to use DeAndre Swift because I don't think they believe he can take the pounding running the ball in between the tackles. So to me, I think it's just a clear delineation that Jamal's going to be the three down back. DeAndre Swift is going to be the third down back catching passes. So to me, this is an easy rushing prop where if you think the Lions keep this close, Jamal Williams with a 53.5 rushing prop, or you might see 55 on FanDuel, like 53.5 on DraftKings is where I would bet it. But if you think the Lions keep this game close, you have to play that prop. Like, because that's the way they keep this game close. If they're able to effectively run the ball in between the tackles against the Bills. So if you believe this game stays close, you play that prop. If you don't believe this game stays close, and I'm not necessarily in that camp, I think they get out ahead of the Lions and they kind of take the run game out of it. I think it's more of a you can look at DeAndre Swift catching passes at the backfield because they're going to be in throw mode throughout the back half of this game. So to me, that's where I'd be looking at DeAndre Swift catching passes, and his receiving yard prop is only at 16.5. I think that's one you can go towards. Even if it's a close game, I still think they're going to use DeAndre Swift in the passing game. So I actually like the DeAndre Swift call, not necessarily from a DFS perspective, because from a DFS perspective, DeAndre Swift is pretty pricey in terms of the actual play itself. It's more of a try to get different. I just think that because of how popular Jamal Williams has gotten from Hard Knocks and his play this year where he's leading the NFL in touchdowns, people are going to play Jamal Williams in DFS today. And unless you believe this game stays close, and by close, I mean literally it's a touchdown difference throughout the fourth quarter. To me, I just don't think this is the play. The Bills are a much better run defense than the Giants are. And the Giants were able to, for all intents and purposes, they did shut down Jamal Williams. I'm like, I want people to understand this. He had three touchdowns, but they were all, like, they were within the red zone multiple times because of a couple of miscues by the Giants. So, to me, the Giants' defense, yes, they gave up the touchdowns. We get it. It's tough to stop them in those goal line situations. But if you're looking at the actual game itself, the Giants' defensive line held up pretty well shutting down that run game, and the Bills are still a better run defense than people give them credit for. The reason why the Bills give up yards rushing usually ends up being the case of, as the game goes on, teams just end up like getting tired of trying to chuck the ball against the Bills and just opt for the run game because that's the only way they can kind of keep in it. Like, usually it depends on the Bills how they are turning the ball over. That's when they get that's when it's more effective to run the ball against the Bills, is if the offense has a quick turnover and the defense comes back a little bit tired. That's when the Bills defense gets in trouble, is when they don't get off the field. So if you think the game stays close because the Lions are able to make a few plays defensively on Josh Allen and company, yeah, by all means, go for it. But I wouldn't necessarily be in that camp. All right, I know I spent a lot of time talking about the Bills-Lions game. The reason why is there's not a lot to say about this Giants-Cowboys game. I'm sorry, Giants fans. You know I'm a Giants fan. You know I'm a Giants fan. But here's the problem with the Giants coming into this game. Evan Neal, John Feliciano are out. They're out. So you're missing your center and your starting right tackle. And, oh, by the way, did I not mention the fact that Shane Lemieux, our starting left guard, is also out? So by that count, that would be three starting offensive linemen out for the Giants this week. Oh, and by the way, Andrew Thomas, our starting left tackle, is dealing with the flu. So, yeah, it's not a good situation, because even with that clip of Michael Parsons looking a little ginger looking a little gingerly in that Vikings game. Yeah, they think he's fine. So realistically, the issues that are going on for the Giants' offensive line are pretty drastic. You got a Cowboys defense that is licking their chops because they destroyed the Vikings. The best thing you can hope for, realistically, is that the Cowboys just come in way too overconfident in this game, and the Giants just give it a hard effort. That's literally the only thing you're hoping on. If this is strictly just, hey, we're playing on the field, Giants going to get rolled, and they're going to get rolled hard even if they're competing, because effectively they don't have the horses to match up right now given the injuries. You can't lose that many starters ahead of one game. It's a short week. Guys are already banged up because of like how physical Detroit was with them. It's a bad matchup for the Giants. Like Detroit banged around. They played hard against Detroit. Like there were just a lot of miscues that happened for the Giants in that game. Try to turn it around. How are the Giants supposed to win this game? They're supposed to win this game running the ball, not making turnovers. The Cowboys do gamble quite a bit in terms of forcing turnovers. But let's be honest here. What are the Giants' passing props looking like? Darius Slayton is the highest rated receiving yards prop for the Giants, and he's at 48.5. Saquon's at 22.5. The offense is run through Saquon, and his receiving yard prop is 22.5. His rushing yard prop, Saquon, is at 72.5. If Saquon, whom the Giants' offense is entirely structured around, is only slated to have less than 100 yards combined between rushing and receiving, Vegas is already telling you they are going to get, they're going to get ragdolled. Like, that's what Vegas is trying to tell you. This line is at 9.5. But there is nothing here from the Giants' own receiving props and rushing props that indicate at all that the Giants' offense is going to be able to do anything today. There's nothing here. We got two games. And again, I'm being clear. We got two games here where the line was at 10.5. It went to 9.5 in the Buffalo game. Dallas opened up at 9.5 and has gone up to 10. There's nothing on the Giants' side to actually indicate that the Giants' offense is actually going to be able to move the ball at all today. It's going to be an uphill struggle. So even with the potential of, all right, Daniel Jones, rushing yards, 38.5, certainly could happen. I mean, I'm just going to say this here. I'm a Giants fan. My family's Giants. Like, we are going to watch this game, but there's a real chance that this is the game that goes on mute for an extended period of time while we just eat. Because I don't see a whole lot going on in this game worthwhile to be commenting on. The problem I see here is that if you're trying to find, because I'm not betting on Dallas. I'll just tell you guys right now, it's the smart bet, but I can't bet it. So you guys can take advantage of what I cannot do. In the interim, if you want to bet on something, I would say you can bet on the Matt Breida rushing yard prop, because I think this game ends up pretty much being done and dusted for Dallas, where they eventually start pulling away. In terms of rushing yard props, Matt Breida's at 10.5. If this game turns into the blowout I expect it to be, he's going to get the garbage time work, because why are you risking Saquon in a game you're trailing by three scores? It doesn't make any sense throughout the game. If this game gets away from the Giants, I fully expect Matt Breida to get some work. Not that he's actually going to be good or anything, because he's not. It's Matt Breida. But this rushing yard prop, way too low. This prop is basically assuming that Matt Breida's not getting in the game until the last 5 minutes of the game. And I think you could see Matt Breida running the entire fourth quarter because it's a blowout and the Giants don't want to risk getting anyone hurt, because the Giants, for all intents and purposes, are 7-3. Yes, they are playing for the chance to win the NFC East. And I know Giants fans are talking about making playoffs. This is not the year to be talking about playoffs with the Giants. They are just trying to be respectable. This is not a good matchup for the Giants. With the injuries that they have, it's very unlikely that the Giants stay competitive in this matchup. There are too many things going against them. They're in Dallas. The Dallas defense is even faster on the road. I mean, at home than they are on the road. And Dallas's defense gave the Giants fits in the first matchup in the Meadowlands. Now they're home. They're going to be even harder to deal with. That pass rush is even harder to block. Even with the struggles Evan Neal had against Micah Parsons, you'd still rather have Evan Neal than what we're going to be rolling out today. Like, this is going to be a tough day in the office for Daniel Jones. So what you're really hoping for, at least I am as a Giants fan, that nobody else gets hurt in this game. Just get out of here. Just manage the game. Let's not go crazy here, because there are too many ways that this can go sideways, and it's not worth it for the Giants. Like, this is not the game that's going to make or break the season, even if you are looking for a playoff run, which I'm not. But this is not the game to go crazy over, because to me, it's a bad scenario where, A, it's a bad matchup, and you don't have the pieces in place to realistically mount a challenger. Again, I just told you the props that I'd be looking at. There's no one going on with the Giants. Like, you need a Dallas slipping on the banana peel kind of game where someone blows a coverage and Darius Slayton is wide open, Jones hits him in stride, the Giants get a touchdown, and then they just try to play ball control, and we try to win a game 17-14, and try to win a game that way, because that's what it's going to take for the Giants to win. And you heard what the score I gave you. The actual over under on this game is 45.5. They expect Dallas to put up points. I'm just being clear. It's in the Buffalo game, the over under is 54.5. We literally have a 9-point differential for the same spread. They expect the Giants to get hammered because we can't score. And realistically, this is not the matchup for the Giants to do well in offensively. And I think between the amount of work the defense had to put in to kind of slow down Detroit just hammering them, and eventually they started giving up the yards in the fourth quarter, they got tired. It's going to be more the same with Dallas. You know, to me, from a DFS standpoint, it's not the craziest thing in the world to play both Zeke and Tony Pollard. Because you know why? I know Zeke ain't going to run for a ton of yards. Because Zeke's rushing prop is at 44.5. I think the Cowboys ease him back into the game. But there is a scenario where, similar to what we saw with Jamal Williams, Zeke could run for like 52 yards and have two or three touchdowns, like one catching and two rushing. Like, Zeke could get three touchdowns today, and it wouldn't shock me in the slightest, because Zeke is Jerry Jones' favorite player. He might be his favorite Cowboy player ever, which is crazy considering Jerry had Emmitt Smith and Michael Irving. And Zeke might be his favorite Cowboy ever. The Cowboys love getting Zeke the ball. And Zeke loves scoring on Thanksgiving. Like I said, this is a miserable time for the Giants. And there's a weird stat for the Giants, that the Giants on Thanksgiving. And the Giants have played a couple of Thanksgiving games throughout the year. So, like, it's not like we play every year on Thanksgiving. But we've played at least a couple of times. We haven't had an offensive touchdown on Thanksgiving since, I think, this, like, someone threw up the stat. It was almost pre-World, I think it was like the Polo Grounds years with the last time the Giants had an offensive touchdown. It's been over 60 years since the Giants had an offensive touchdown on Thanksgiving. And we've played, like, games. It's like, we've just gotten hammered in some of these games against Dallas, and I just don't see it changing today, unfortunately. But, yeah, in terms of Dallas, I think the run game is just, they just ram it down our throats. Tony Pollard's rushing prop is at 61.5. I think he can definitely hit that today. Zeke, I get why his rushing yard prop is at 44.5 because I think they ease him back into the offense. Plus, Tony Pollard is clearly the better running back. I've been telling people this for 3+ years now. Now people are like, oh, yeah, the Cowboys should be running Tony Pollard more. No shit. Like, come on. Like, now y'all realizing this? Like, come on. It's ridiculous. But, you know, I know people are going to talk about, what about Dak Prescott? Dak is going to be popular from a DFS standpoint because Dak is 6,600. Josh Allen's 8K. You could save money going to Dak. And, you know, the people are looking at it as a salary play. The issue I see with Dak is the fact that, realistically, Dak has not been nearly as accurate as people would suspect. And his passing props are all over the place. FanDuel's got him at like 247. I saw Caesars at like 256. You had Bet Rivers at like 249. Like, it's all over the place with Dak. Because no one really knows what to make of the Cowboys' passing attack. Because Dak hasn't, like, he's come back, but he hasn't come back the same since the injury. And, yeah, he's still a better passer than Cooper Rush. And a better runner. And a better quarterback. So let's get that out of the way first. Like, because Skip Bayless keeps going on this idiotic tangent about Cooper Rush that I will never understand. But with all that going on, Dak hasn't been playing great. I don't necessarily see the Cowboys kind of forcing the issue with Dak throwing the ball because I think they'll have enough success on the ground. They ran for over 150 yards in the first matchup. I think you're going to get more of that today. Dak will be solid, but not necessarily spectacular. So to me, I just look at it from the standpoint of if you're going at Dak just for the cost savings, you have to acknowledge the fact that there's a real chance Dak kind of puts up similar numbers to what Cooper Rush did, and Cooper Rush did not play well in that Monday night game. Like Cooper Rush was like threw for like 215 yards. Like it was like literally one of those random numbers where like I think it was like 215. It was either like 215 or like 220. But it was like he was like thoroughly unimpressive. But Tony Pollard ran for over 100 yards, and that's where it came down to. Like Tony Pollard like was like over 100 yards. Zeke had a solid day, but like Tony Pollard was clearly the better running back. Surprise, surprise. And they just ran it down the Giants' throats. Like there's no reason why the Cowboys don't run it right down the Giants' throats again. It's like I don't get the Dak thing. It's like, yes, well, I have at least one hedge lineup with Dak Prescott in case they decide to have him and CD work on some stuff and a couple of plays that they wanted to run through. Yeah, because I think this is one of those games where I think they feel very confident in the matchup that they can do a couple of interesting things and work some stuff out. But, you know, they don't have to worry about certain plays falling flat because they'll have other shots to go after the Giants. So, yeah, there's a chance Dak goes off today. I just don't see it. And then finally, the nightcap. We got New England traveling to Minnesota. The Vikings are 2.5-point favorites. They're still favored, even though we all know it's Kirk Cousins in primetime. For those who don't know, Kirk Cousins is the worst performing primetime QB in NFL history. He only has... Wait, he might have two. But he has more double-digit losses over the past 6 years in primetime, more than any other QB. Like, if you want someone to lose in primetime, you call Kirk Cousins. And, I mean, I don't even know what else to say about it. And I'm not even going to sully my beloved You Like That Sound clip from Kirk, because we love 1PM Kirk. 1PM Kirk works in a lot of situations for DFS and fantasy. Even though he's Kirk and he makes a lot of bad decisions, 1PM Kirk usually works out more often than not, especially on the betting trends. But this is Bill Belichick, and it's Kirk Cousins in primetime. This has a lot. So there are a couple of ways of approaching this. Can the Vikings win this game? Yes. Is Kirk Cousins the reason why they're going to win this game? Hell no. If anything, I think Bill Belichick focuses in more on trying to shut down Dalvin Cook than he is on trying to stop Justin Jefferson. I think the Patriots would rather have Kirk throw the ball and try to beat them rather than letting Dalvin Cook get established and cause some problems for the Patriots, who are going to just try to run the ball down Minnesota's throat. They're gonna use Damian Harris now that he's healthy, and now we're back into a full-on tandem between Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris. It looked for a while as though Ramondre was going to be taken over, the full-time responsibilities for the team, and it was just going to be Ramondre being the running back one, and Damian Harris kind of taking a step back in the offense. Now you've got Damian Harris back in the fold again. Ramondre's rushing yard prop is at 58.5. I still think that's a bit low because I don't think Bill trusts Mac Jones at all. I think Bill, if he sees even one brain-dead interception for Mac Jones, he's going to pull the cord on him, and Billy Zappi is going to be under center. So from a fantasy perspective and DFS perspective, I think Mac Jones is the worst play on the slate. As much as I say the Giants, I expect the Giants to get rolled, I at least know Daniel Jones, unless he gets injured, is going to play all four quarters. If Mac Jones Fs up, Bailey Zappi could easily be in this game, and it's not going to shock me in the slightest. That's why I think Mac Jones is the worst play on the board tonight. With all these games, I think Mac Jones far and away is the worst play. So from my perspective, this kind of comes down to, can the Pats run the ball at will on the Vikings? And from my perspective, yeah, it should actually be a favorable matchup. I know they struggled against the Jets. Jets have an excellent defense. The Jets should be a playoff team. The Jets are hamstrung by an immature QB who won't run the offense. And Zach Wilson was justifiably benched because of what he did on Sunday, which was inexcusable. If you look at the tape, and I know I'm getting off track here. If anyone wants to look at the tape of and rewatch that game, the amount of open throws Zach Wilson did not see a receiver on is astonishing. Like, the Pats should have lost that game eight different times just by Zach Wilson reading a play properly. Like, the Pats offense was shut down effectively by the Jets because the Pats, while they could run the ball, they still couldn't dictate in the final third what they want to do against the Jets. I think they'll have an easier time against the Vikings it's a better overall matchup for their offensive line. That being said, because of the fact that I think the Pats are still going to struggle putting away this game, I still think you have opportunities for Justin Jefferson to have a decent fantasy game. And I say this because I think the Pats are more worried about Dalvin Cook going off than they are about Justin Jefferson, which sounds crazy because Justin Jefferson's a top three wide receiver in the league. I know they don't want Justin Jefferson going off, but I think the Pats are more willing to gamble that Kirk Cousins is going to screw up and throw a couple of bad picks than Justin Jefferson going off for 150 yards and two scores. I think they're more willing to take the chance that Kirk is still going to screw up more often than not than have Dalvin Cook run the ball for 130 yards and a score or two. Because if Dalvin Cook gets off to that degree and they're able to ball control and still be, because Justin Jefferson's still going to get his catches. Like, they're not going to be able to just stop Justin Jefferson entirely from getting receptions because of their defense. If they stop Justin Jefferson from getting, because his receiving prop is at 6.5, which sounds pretty on point. It's like he's either going to be around 6 to 8 catches. So I definitely get, like, if the Vikes are able to establish a run, he's definitely getting 8 catches. But I do think that in order for the Pats to actually have an effective game, they're going to need to stop Dalvin Cook from running the ball. Because if Dalvin Cook can run the ball, that means they can play action and actually get Justin Jefferson involved in the offense. That's how the Pats get hurt. So to me, I think the Pats force the issue with shutting down Dalvin Cook. Because if you shut down Dalvin Cook, yeah, Kirk is still going to force the ball to Justin Jefferson, but it's way easier to defend Justin Jefferson when it's not play action. That's where it really comes down to. So as long as the Pats defense kind of holds Dalvin Cook, because his rushing yard prop is at 75. If they control him and he doesn't break 100, Pats are winning this game because Kirk is going to make mistakes. I have no doubt in my mind. But if Dalvin is able to effectively run the ball and they can allow that play action to give Kirk a little bit more time, Justin Jefferson's going to be open. So that's the danger of this game. I think New England goes with the game plan that I'm going with. Shut down Dalvin Cook. Take your chances that Justin Jefferson doesn't, like, crush you over the top. And Kirk can get the ball out to him in time. I think the Pats go with that game plan, and the Pats win the game. So I like the dog there. But to me, that's the interesting part from a game theory perspective. If you want to get a little bit different from a DFS standpoint, you should be looking to target this late game and leave some spots open for whether you think the game script goes to Dalvin Cook or you think it goes through Justin Jefferson. That's where you kind of get different overall with your builds. Because folks are going to jam in Stephon Diggs and they're going to jam in CeeDee Lamb. And what they'll do to fit those guys in, they'll go double tight end and they'll mix Knox and Schultz in the flex spot. That's how they're going to build out the roster. And I got news for you folks. You are not different if you are playing double tight end with Dawson Knox and Dalton Schultz. You are not different. You and every Jamoke out there that's going to be playing in these Millie Makers on DraftKings and FanDuel, you're not building your rosters differently. Basically, everyone's going to be playing that on a standard level. And yes, I'm not saying you're not going to be able to make money, because they could easily go off and you could still win money, but you're not gonna ship a contest with those types of builds because there's too many folks that can run those lineups with optimizers and 150 lineups, that's not going to get you different enough. So I will say there's a very real possibility that anyone that's able to have a significant haul winning on DraftKings and FanDuel today has exposure to this game. Whether you're going with the New England running back situation or you're going with Dalvin Cook or Justin Jefferson, having some exposure to this game on the back end, I think can make the difference. All right, that's going to do it for me. I hope everyone gets a chance to enjoy some turkey today. All the best wishes to you and your family. But I hope you guys have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And we will be back for the weekend slate ahead of the NFL action coming up this weekend. So all the best, folks. Have a wonderful holiday.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Throwdown Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe to the show on Spotify, Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and all major outlets.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.